Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Glory to God. You bring your Bible today?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready to jump into the Word of the everlasting God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Creator of the universe.
Yes.
Doer of the impossible. Restorer of all things. The greater one that's on the inside of you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Glory to God. I'm talking about life-changing stuff.
Yes.
Today.
Today.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, we do thank you for your goodness in our lives. And we do thank you for the word of the living God going forth unabated by any force and not returning to you void in Jesus' name. Yes. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles, please. Go with me to Ephesians 1, if you would. And I'd like to begin reading and have you begin reading with me concerning some things the Apostle Paul said. And actually, we're going to read starting in verse 1 of that book. There are two things that are going to begin to emerge in our mind and heart, and we're going to see that they run concurrent with the fruits of righteousness. And out of these two things manifests everything else we're believing God for. But here in Ephesians, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus. Who is this written to?
Saints.
The saints. So the saints would be, by the Greek word, the set-apart ones. The word saint actually means holy. And holy means just set apart. Now we need to understand that there's two sides to holiness. Actually, we're set apart from and set apart unto. One of the reasons many Christians never walk in the manifestation of victory in life is because they get one side of the message. They get the side of the message that we're not to smoke, drink, and chew and run with those who do. So we're not like the world, so we're not supposed to be like the world, so we're set apart from the world. But we never complete the process, complete the circuit. You know, when you're wiring a house, it's got to be inspected, and then they once they hook it up, the circuit gets complete, and there's power. A lot of people never get to the power of what Jesus died and brought for their lives because they never complete the circuit. And one of the reasons they never complete the circuit is they don't realize this is two-sided, and I'll prove this to you once again. But look at Galatians 6, verse 14, where Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now I'm going to digress a little bit and talk about the mammon system briefly for just a moment, only to help you see that there's two sides to walking in the fullness of this. Notice, he didn't just say the same thing twice. He said, I have to get the world has to be crucified to me, but I also have to be crucified to the world. That's two elements going on there. See, so many times I get crucified to the world in the sense of I'm set apart. So I'm set apart from, right?
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that I realize I'm not to participate in these things the world does. I'm not to walk with them to the excess of greed and lust and the way that, okay, I understand that. And so I deal with the overt actions in my life that the Bible describes as sinful in an attempt to have moral excellence and walk in integrity. Now that is something we should be doing, but we shouldn't be doing that in our strength. That should come from the heart out. So what he's saying here is that there's aspects of being set apart from things that I endeavor and realize this is part of a godly lifestyle and this is what I should be doing and my behavior pattern should be changing. But yet, we'll go to school, go to church on Sunday, get taught the things of God, rejoice, sing the songs about victory and walking in the things of God, but go right back to work on Monday and make every decision we make concerning our money, concerning our family, concerning our future, out of that mammon system, doing it just like the world. And what we have to understand is it's not just enough to be set apart from the world, meaning that I don't conduct my own personal affairs like they do. It also means the world has to be crucified to me. That means their systems have to be crucified in my thinking, and I have to get a revelation on God's laws, the kingdom system, His way of doing things. Because it is in that place, according to Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things, how many things?
All.
So all things come out of seeking the kingdom and the gift of righteousness. Now this is a big deal. Everything that belongs to you in the kingdom, and this is what I'm going to point out to you today. Absolutely everything that is yours, everything. Every little thing you can think of that is a promise of God. Every single thing that is yours as a result of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is classified by Scripture as a fruit of righteousness. This is why the word fruit is plural, fruits. Because now that you and me, now that we've been made right with God, we get access to everything He's bought and paid for. And these are the fruits of being made right. Now, this is very important because most people don't have any idea how they're giving. And the law of seed time and harvest and what He's given us in the kingdom is the open door into that realm where those fruits manifest. This is really the harvest we're looking for. And we have boiled down much of our giving to, you know, I sow a dollar and I'm expecting $100 back. Well, thank God for the finances because they do come and it is one of the fruits. But it's one of the least of the fruits. Sometimes you need a breakthrough in an area, a favor in an area, a supernatural move of God in an area that your money cannot produce. And that still is a harvest off of this law of seed time and harvest. And we're going to see that. And what I want to show you here is that being set apart, being a saint, means to be set apart, but it doesn't just mean to be set apart from. It also means to complete the circuit. For the power to flow, we have to be set apart unto. Which means I'm crucified to the world, but the world is also crucified to me. I don't do things their way. Now, Paul is writing to the saints, the set-apart ones, and at the end of verse 1, to the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. So clearly, to be set apart and to be faithful is a key because the faithful abound with blessings. So once you learn God's way of doing it and you set it in motion in your life, you have to be faithful and consistent because it's through faith and patience you inherit these promises. So there's an obtaining mechanism. There's a way that when people obtain things, they obtain them. It's a mechanism in the kingdom where when we can learn these laws and learn cause and effect, we can begin to operate in these things. Now, notice what it says in Ephesians 1. Once again, let's pick up at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints. Underline that phrase, by the will of God. He is about to, everything he writes from here on out, he is about to reveal to you and me the will of God as it has been revealed to him by God himself in the third heaven. Let me say this again.
Praise God.
He has been made an apostle to this church by the will of God. Now part of his apostolic role, once again, let's flip over. We're going to kind of do a little back and forth here. Go to Ephesians 3, and though you've heard these verses, I'd like to remind you of something. Verse 1 of Ephesians 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. See that? So God gave him something to give to that church. Can you see this?
Yes, sir.
And this is why God gave it to him. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery that I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. God's the one that revealed it to Paul. For what purpose? So that he could make it known to the church. So that the church could know what he knows. Well, is it that the church needs to know what Paul knows? Or is it that the church needs to know what Jesus revealed to Paul? So that the church can know about Jesus the same thing Paul knew about Jesus. Do you see what I'm trying to say to you? I'm trying to take you out of the mindset, well, that Paul had this special experience. Well, he did. And yes, he's called in an office. And yes, we respect and revere those offices of grace. And in no way would we ever disrespect what God has done through the life of the Apostle Paul. So many of us are born again just because of his writings. I would never disrespect that. But if Paul himself were standing here talking to you, he wouldn't talk to you any differently than he wrote to you. And he wrote to you that his assignment in the third heaven was God revealing things to him so that he could make all men see. In fact, drop down in chapter 3 unto verse 7. Whereof, or therefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among every ethnic group the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all men. See, the whole reason I'm teaching this is so that you, every person in here, can see. Can see what? Can see the very same thing Paul saw in the third heaven. See, the purpose in meditating, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, is for you and me to be able to see the very things Paul saw when he was caught to the third heaven. Now, let me explain something to you. Do you believe Paul had a supernatural ministry? Yes. Power of God went from his body with handkerchiefs and aprons, and evil spirits screamed and left, and diseases and all of that. All the different things that he was assigned to do. See, the object is to get to the manifest presence of God. The glory of God that belongs to the saints. Hallelujah. We're going to see in a minute this is one of the fruits of righteousness, the glory. And there is a way to get there. Which is why the Lord's instructing us as the administrator, the high priest of the church, he's instructing us the avenue to take to get over into that place. Because the Bible says that he is in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, it says he's a sun, S-U-N, like the heat of the sun, and a shield. He gives grace and glory. The purpose of the shield is to be able to stand in the presence of the sun. Grace is the shield that allows you to stand in the glory. And when all grace begins to abound and you begin to walk in the fullness of it, you'll be able to walk in the presence of God on a level you could never experience it any other way. But you don't just go running up into the throne room. There is supernatural protocol. And as disciples, we've got to learn these things. And so he's saying here that he wants to make all men see. Now, what does he want them to see? Back to verse 6. It's Ephesians 3, 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whoo, glory be to God. I want you to see this. Here's what I want you to see. Everything belongs to you. Now let's go back to Ephesians 1. Look at what he says here. This is what he means in verse 1 when he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace. Underline the word grace. Underline the word peace. When the gift of righteousness comes, when you begin to have an understanding that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, there are three main fruits, three main arteries of life-pumping power. I don't know, I'll find a way, the Holy Ghost will help me find a better way to say this. But there are three main arenas that immediately come alive in your spiritual walk. When you get the revelation, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Things have been set right between me and God. Three things begin to come alive in our hearts. Faith, grace, and peace. Now, I can prove this to you. These are three major arteries of the Zoe life of God that begin to manifest. Now, we're not going to have time to deal with all three of those things. But, and obviously, the love of God is in the mix because it's the royal law. So we'll talk about all of these things and how they interact or interrelate. But today I have one specific assignment to kind of make sure that we continue to have a proper foundation to get our understanding, our spiritual understanding wrapped around what in the world is the fruits of righteousness. Because the truth is, when I minister about the fruits of righteousness to preachers, preacher friends of mine that have been in ministry for a long time, and I'm talking about people that you would say and I would say are seasoned, mature, and know the Word. They bat their eyes at me like this, and, well, you know, I've always read that, but I've wondered what that was. Now, don't you think we ought to know? If all of our sowing is toward getting the fruits of righteousness manifested, don't you think we ought to have some revelation of it? And we'll go back to 2 Corinthians and look at this in a moment. But here he's saying, verse 2, grace be to you and peace. Glory to God. That means every saint and every faithful believer has access to grace and peace. It belongs to us. It should be coming at us. From God. Woo! See this? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless me! Now, I'm going to show you the attachment here. Bless be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Circle the word us. Because Paul is writing. So who is he including in the word us? Himself, the saints, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, why did he say, and the faithful in Christ Jesus? So that we wouldn't read this and limit it to that one church. Because we're Gentiles, which means that every ethnic group, every nation, and we are also fellow heirs, and he wants every man. So he says, himself, the saints, the faithful, the Gentiles, every man. Now you cannot miss the fact this right here is written to every man. So that every man can see that all of us have access to the fullness, bought and paid for by the blood. And today he's helping us see it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. What has he blessed us with? Say all.
All.
See, read it one word at a time. Who hath blessed all of us with all. Glory to God. And not just in this realm. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now look in your Bible, that word places will be in italics. The reason is because it's not particularly identified as a Greek word that identifies just a place or places. Places means things. Actually, you may have a footnote in your Bible that says things. Things, spheres of authority, realms, positions, seats, places, meaning spheres of dominion, meaning we get access to everything in heaven and in earth, complete access to everything God created. That's why he said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said this in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, M-A-N-Y, dwelling, not mansions, dwelling places, positions. Now, I don't have time to break this part down this morning. I'm talking about in this session. We always have time as in series or where we're going, but when the Holy Ghost got us on a track, we pick and choose where he wants to go. But let me insert something here. If we were to read, and we can, I'm going to take you to those scriptures before we're done that include what I'm going to say to you here. But how many of you have ever read the verse where it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost? That word moved is the same word that's used in Acts 2 when it says there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind. It's the word to bring or to bear, B-E-A-R, like fruit bearing or a wind that comes. How many of you know that when this rain blew in, what was it yet? Friday. Actually, Thursday evening is when it blew in. And we happened to be in a place where it was very dusty. And I'm telling you, it wasn't raining yet, but it was the wind was blowing the dust. Anybody experienced that? The leaves are blowing, the dirt's blowing. What was that wind doing? That wind was bringing the rain. Do you see this? This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. That rushing mighty, that wind came bringing something. Something came with that wind. And though they stayed, they were in that upper room, and they didn't leave the room, well, till later when they staggered out in the street and everybody heard them praying in tongues, but though they didn't leave the room at that moment, they moved to another place. They themselves. Not only did heaven bring them something, heaven brought them to another place. They didn't leave the room and they were brought to another place. Now this is what this word move means. To bring to another position, to bring to another place. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, the purpose of Holy Ghost meetings, the purpose of the manifestation in power is to bring you to another place. And for many people, it brings them out of things they can't get out of on their own, because it's an anointing that removes the burden and destroys the yoke. And if people would just allow His Spirit more free operation on a more consistent basis, it would bring them out of carnality to another place of spirituality, where they would become much more spirit conscious, much more word conscious, much more God inside minded, much more heavenly conscious, able to partake, able to move. From that position, they're able to experience more of the fullness. Holy Spirit's the one that brings us into our inheritance. Now, one of the things that's very important along this line of thought, and I challenge you to study this out. God did not bring the ram to Abraham. He brought Abraham to the ram. Huh? God brought Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. And even though the ravens fed him, first he had the instruction, go to the brook Cherith, I will feed you there. There is a place called there. And the condition of supernatural provision is you and me being brought to that place by the Spirit. I need you to understand. The Bible makes it extremely clear that when a deep sleep fell on Adam in the garden and God out of his side created a woman, mankind, the Bible says that and here's the thing, the man didn't wake up till the woman was finished. Till she was completed. But when he did, when he was awakened, that deep sleep and he was awakened, it's the type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The woman was raised up when he was raised up. When she was completed, he was raised up. Now she's a type of the body of Christ. When the debt was paid and our righteousness was secured and redemption was finished, when it was completed, when the bride was finished, Jesus came out of the ground. You see this? That means it's done. We're finished. We're complete in Him. And I can show you this in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. In Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, Colossians 2, 9. And you are complete in Him. Hallelujah. Who is the head of all principality and power. So in Him dwells the fullness. In Him, verse 9, dwells the fullness of the Godhead, the entire Godhead in a human body. I know I'm torquing your mind, but this is discipleship class. I'm trying to get you to think differently. I'm trying to help you to understand everything belongs to you in Him. But our mind is not renewed to this, and so we function way down here. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form. Verse 10 says, and you are complete in Him. You have to have revelation to understand that. And this is why we've got to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Because I'm not strong when I feel strong. I'm strong because the creator of the universe never leaves me or forsakes me and lives in me. And I have to get God inside minded that no matter what I'm facing, and even if it didn't turn out like I thought, He still can restore me. I don't have to be a part of the peripheral damage. I can rise up, but it's a choice. I got to get complete in Him. It's a choice. I got to get complete in Him. This is very important because He is the head of all principality and power. Amen? So there are places, and we're moving, and most people don't see that they need to move spiritually into these places. Now, if your heart couldn't move from one place to another, if it couldn't, then why would Jesus say, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is? If your heart couldn't change positions, why would He say, where your treasure is, there will your? See, lots of folks sit their seat in a chair, but their heart isn't there. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be church, or it can be a first freshman semester at college. And you wonder why they're struggling? Because they're sick. Homesick. That's a real term. Because their heart isn't there. The heart isn't so passionate toward the goal that the pull of the familiar is keeping them from it. Well, now, if that happens in the natural, you know it can happen in the spirit. The point I'm trying to make is your spirit man can move positions. And that movement happens without your blessed assurance even shifting. You don't even have to shift to the seat beside you. And you're moving. Your heart's moving. Now this is meant, and that's what happens, that's what people don't get, why they got to be under the Word. I'm talking about absolutely every opportunity. They got to learn how to feast on the Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word.
Right.
So their faith doesn't stay stagnant. They can be sitting still, but they're feasting on that Word and their faith is moving.
Yeah.
It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's moving all the time, working on things, even when it doesn't look like it. So you're not strong because you feel strong. And you're not weak because you feel weak. Feelings have to follow that. Amen.
Amen.
So, as we're looking at this in Ephesians, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now we're talking to Paul. He includes the saints, the faithful. And then he goes on to say every Gentile, and then he says every man. And I want you to see the fellowship of the mystery. All of this belongs to you. Blessed be, let's look at verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, positions, spheres, things, authority, everything that belongs to us in Christ. And Paul said, God hath blessed us. So that means that Paul's included in this blessing, which means you and I have access to all the grace and all the peace. Now, I want to point that out to you before I read any further, because as I read now, we're going to focus on these two things. So look at verse 2 one more time, and let's read it in context. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. See, grace be to you, peace be to you from God. Blessed be God who hath blessed us with all these things. So what channels do all these things come through? How do these things that we're blessed with manifest? Through grace and through peace, because we've been made right. Because I've been made righteous, I now have access to the grace. Because I've been made right with God, I have access to the peace. And in grace and peace is everything He bought. Glory be to God. It's like a reservoir. Thank you, Jesus. So now let's read verse 4, and let's read on down through verse 10, if you would. Actually, verse 11. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Notice the words in verse 4, according as. See those words? So verse 4 is inexplicably tied to verse 3. Why would we have access to every spiritual thing, blessing, sphere, authority? Why would we have access to all this through grace and peace? Why would He grant us access to this? According as He hath chosen us. In other words, you have an assignment on earth that it's going to take more than what you've got to get done. Which means we are going to have to access through what belongs to us by the blood, what's been given, granted to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, this grace, this peace, this authority to walk in these laws that take us up out of the natural. We got to access them to get this kingdom work done, because this is not a natural work. And all of this we've been given access to according as. See that? This is why. This is why many times the fullness is not released to us, or even a flow that creates increase is not released to us, because once again, we're not sanctified back over here. Well, sanctified to what, Pastor? To His plan. See, there's no need. Prosperity's built into the plan, so there's no need for Him to release prosperity until you have gotten yourself set apart to spend that prosperity on His plan for your life. Why would He do that? If you're going to live normal, why would He pour heavenly grace on you? This is all according as. So see, here's the measuring stick. Many times in Scripture, we miss the measuring sticks. And we don't even understand that the measure we set is the measure's released to us. Now, this is one of the reasons He wants us to understand the same measure you meet will be measured unto you. Now, that works in finances. But it also works in judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. So when that thing boomerangs around and you've got a critical opinion, it's going to come back at you 7 times stronger. I would suggest you get rid of your own opinions. Because this is a measuring thing. To walk into the waters, the angel took a measuring rod. And he measured the water, and then he took Ezekiel by the hand and walked him through ankle deep, and then knee deep, then loin deep. He finally got the waters to swim in. And in measuring the waters, he was also measuring Ezekiel and his ability to walk through those waters. That's why God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Because faith accesses, it's the channel to grace. And you have the adequate length, the due portion, the capacity, the measure of faith to walk in the fullness of the grace that's on your life. But it's going to take faith to do it. Do you see this? And so this whole measuring system, and there's more to this measuring system, much more to it that I could give you. But this isn't a message on that. But I want you to understand why so many times that people don't see the kind of increase, because that increase can only come in measure. And there is no reason for God. God loves you and me. He loves us too much to give us information about the will of God for our life, thereby making us responsible to accomplish that will before we have settled the issue in our heart that we're willing to do it. There's no need for Him to talk to you about your future until you spend enough time on that altar that whatever He says to you, you're ready. And so many saints never get there. They never get impartial. And only the impartial can really hear the will of God. And this is not an overnight thing. And you're probably not going to get there just by attending discipleship class once a week. Because disciples follow Him daily. They say in the Word. Why? Because it moves their heart. Are you hearing me? It moves their heart to a different place. Once your heart gets moved to a different place, you're inevitably going to go there. You will ultimately follow your heart. Whatever you treasure in your heart, you'll head there. So it's important to get your heart full, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your money's going to your heart. Your tongue is going to your heart. Your dominant thoughts are going to your heart. You see? And your heart is going to follow. So it's a revelatory thing. I mean, all you got to do is look at some things about where you spend the most of your time. Where you spend most of your time, your energy, your money, and your thought life. It's where your treasure is. Do I need to say that again? Where you spend the most of your time, your money, your physical energy and strength and might, and your thoughts. That's where your treasure is. Now, it's interesting. The Bible says actually in one of the Psalms, it says the wicked in his heart will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. See, there's a lot of people that don't love God with their mind. You know, the command is to love God with your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. To love God with your mind means you have to corral your thoughts. You can't just let your thinking flop out there like the wind. Oh, that's right. I'm not supposed to be thinking about that. See, if you're going to try to dominate your mind that way, you're never going to win the battle. Because the problem is not what's coming out. The problem is what's going in. Are you hearing me? See, a lot of people try to change their confession by what's coming out of them. Adjusting it and stopping it and stop saying it. No. If you change what's going in, what's going out will automatically change. Just like a computer. You can't get out of it what you don't put in it. And so it's vital for us to get hold of some things here. Glory be to God. Folks, there's an anointing here today.
Yeah, glory.
Yeah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. All right, hallelujah. Let's stay at this. Verse 5, having predestinated us, under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, underline his will again, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Man, this is all so good, I'm going to stop at every verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Woo, glory. Can you see what's happening? The praise of the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace. Grace be to you. Can you see that everything, all of the fruits, now that I've been made right with God, from the gift of righteousness, it's the master key. According to Hebrews 1, the gift of righteousness, or a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of your kingdom. Now this is why Romans 5 says, we reign in Christ by one, Christ Jesus, through the free gift of righteousness. Righteousness is the gift that causes us to reign in life like a king. It is the scepter of his kingdom. It is the ultimate dispenser of all authority, which is now you can see if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Why? Because the gift of righteousness is the master key, the doorway into everything that's in the kingdom. The abundance of grace reigns through righteousness, and the fruit of righteousness is peace. Oh, glory to God. Now, grace, we're going to see, is God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that you always having all sufficiency in every good work, you can abound to everything. Glory to God. This is the grace of God that righteousness gives you access to. Now, grace and peace. James 3 says that the fruit of righteousness is sown. In fact, I'm so stirred about this. Let's go this direction here real quick here. Go with me to the book of James. Whoo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Actually, before we go there, go to 2 Peter 1. Now let's read, we're going to read about three verses here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through what?
Righteousness.
Underline the righteousness of God. Notice how they got that faith. What'd they get the faith through? They obtained the faith through the righteousness of God. Can you see this? All right, now let's read a little further. And our Savior Jesus Christ. Now look at these next two words. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Woo! Through the knowledge of God. Now, hold your finger there and let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 5 says in verse 11, we have many things to say, and they're hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Would you say there's a difference here between what babies eat and what mature believers eat? So there would be a difference between what is fed to people in an at-large service and what's fed to you in this discipleship class. Would you agree? All right, now, if that's true, notice what he says in verse 13, and in a moment I'm going to bring this up in the NIV. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Look at the New International Version. Oh, this is powerful here. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. This is the number one reason why Christians stay babies and don't walk in victory. It's not that they don't have grace, and I thank God for the revelation of grace and the new understanding of grace and people going for grace. But the abundance of grace can only manifest and reign through a revelation of righteousness. The number one need is not a revelation of grace. Grace comes when you get a revelation of righteousness. Do you see this? This is what will grow you up. Now, this is why he says this then down in verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them who are of a full age. Woo, grown-ups know what belongs to them. Are you hearing me? Grown-ups know what belongs to them. So if you don't know what belongs to you, what you have a right to in the kingdom, if you don't know what belongs to you in Christ, then you're not fully established in righteousness. There needs to be an establishment in the righteousness of God. You need to get established in that revelation, because the establishment of the righteousness of God means that whatever you do from that base, according to 2 Corinthians 9, which is a direct quote of Psalm 112, righteousness dwells in his house forever. One translation says, a giver's deeds last forever. It is the base of operating by faith out of righteousness that cements you in peace and grace and victory and authority and causes everything you're doing to be eternal work. Oh, this is huge. These are the fruits. Now, we're going to start picking some fruit here through this process. And we're going to prove, and I'm going to show you from the Scripture, how that everything in the kingdom has an attachment to righteousness. Everything from discernment to spiritual strength to prosperity. I can go down the list. If you get a revelation of righteousness, all of the other things that are in the kingdom will begin then to grow in your life. Glory be to God. All right, so stay with me here, because I'm kind of coming around the turn to find a place to unhook so we can rehook the next week. So stay with me in 2 Peter, because I want you to see this. Grace and peace then be multiplied to you. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, what knowledge do you suppose he's referring to? Well, he's referring to a good bit of knowledge, because he says it several times in the next verses, and we don't have time to deal with all of that. But in particular, contextually, we see in verse 1 that all of this is coming to us through the righteousness of God. So he first has to say to us, we have obtained this faith through the righteousness of God, and grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. So what knowledge is he talking about here? He's got to be talking about knowledge of righteousness. Now, instead of isolating this in only this place, I'm going to cement this in other areas of the Scripture for you. But before we go there, and we'll go there rather quickly, but before we go there, I want you to look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Glory be to God. Whoo, we're called to glory. We're called to glory and moral excellence. And righteousness is what gives us the empowerment not only to walk in the Zoe of God, but life as God intended it. So knowledge of righteousness gives us access to faith, grace, and peace. We want this revelation. I said we want this revelation. Amen? Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a couple of connections as I